Brett Hollander back here on Sportsline on WBAL. The Orioles did beat the Rays today, 2-0. Coming up on the program, more on that. Also on the show, Dave Dravecki, former Major League left-hander, former San Diego Padre. We'll talk to him about Tony Gwynn, who passed away a few days ago. Dave Dravecki coming up on the program at 8:15. And Jeff Zerebeck, Ravens beat writer for the Baltimore Sun. The Ravens completed day two of their three-day mandatory minicamp today. We'll talk to Jay-Z coming up at 8:35. That's all on the show tonight. But right now in studio, we're joined by three very special guests, three local Division I athletic directors from Towson, Tim Leonard, from Loyola, Jim Paquette, and from UMBC, Tim Hall. We're having a great talk about the world of college athletics. And guys, let's get into it now. If you turn on Real Sports with Brian Gumbel on HBO in the last few episodes, or ESPN.com almost every day, you will see updates on UNC students not going to class in the revenue sports. You will see the Ed O'Bannon trial, and right now ESPN has a hour-by-hour blog on the Ed O'Bannon trial, which I can't believe, you know, going on live on their massive website right now. And let's not forget recent headlines of Penn State, Ohio State, George Hughley, and it doesn't seem like there's any sport that's immune. Clearly, most of the national headlines will gravitate towards the revenue sports, and I'm also forgetting Northwestern and unionization. This is a very interesting time in the world of college athletics. Very interesting time. If we can just go around the room and get your take on how it's just grabbing all the headlines right now. Tim Hall, we'll start with you.
I think, you know, to start with, it's about football, and it's about money, and so, you know, you follow that path, and you'll see why we are where we are at this point. You know, I think every institution at the Division I level, that's what we all are, really sets out with their vision, and you talked about mission statement earlier, to do the right things. And in any type of situation, in any society, if you want to look at us in that respect, unfortunately there are some bad apples that will maybe spoil a bunch or attempt to spoil a bunch. But, you know, yeah, we have challenges with, you know, the notion that we're maybe more business than we are academics. We have challenges with a changing governance structure. So how can you have schools, as you mentioned, that are like ours, that can compete and coexist with institutions that are in the quote-unquote resource resource division conferences? And so challenging times. But I think the leadership groups that are working on what our future is going to look like are being very open and very transparent. And looking at what I'll use the term utilitarian, what's the most good for the most people? And so I think if you can start with, you know, looking at, again, and I said it before, you know, that we're educating future leaders. And so whether you're at Ohio State, Florida, Maryland, or at our place, I really believe everybody starts out with that intention. And then there's certainly ways that, you know, our business model looks that that would lead others to believe that, you know, let's maybe look at and attack this business side or this, you know, the union piece. But I think ultimately we're going to end up in the right place. And that's because the leadership is keeping everything centered on, you know, the student athlete, their welfare, and the education of those young people.
You know, there's 310 Division I schools. And I think in the last 100 days, I've been at least at two different gatherings with probably 100 ADs each time. And I think what's been good about this, and it hasn't been a great time for college athletics, particularly the stories that the media and the public seem to be grabbing onto, is we have recognized that we're far from perfect and that we've got to change some things, and that the notion of what college athletics and how it operated, you know, 25, 30 years ago, it's just not appropriate in, you know, in 2014. And so I think we're working on ways to do that. I mean, one of the hot buttons, and I'll tell you, I am fundamentally opposed to it, no ifs, ands, or buts about it, in terms of pay for play. You know, we're not paying our student athletes. They are students. They come to school to get an education and to play for the pride of their institution. There are a lot of good benefits that go with that, which we need to do a better job at telling that story about the academic support and the nutrition support, the strength and conditioning. We just had our women's lacrosse team come back from an international trip. We need to do a better job telling that story. But I am in favor when we talk about, you know, cost of attendance is one of the hot buttons out there. I do want to make sure that we're doing all that we can for our student athletes. Now we have the NCAA Special Assistance Fund, which allows you to help student athletes with demonstrated financial need. We have Pell Grants, which I tell you what, if you qualify for the federal Pell Grant program, it's about $5,000 or $6,000 a year that can go in your pocket. We have not done a good job publicizing that, but I'm all for making sure that, you know, if student athletes need to get home for break, they need a coat, they need to buy a computer. But I'm not just about putting cash in their pocket for the sake of putting cash in their pocket, because I think that's not what our enterprise is about. That's not what this academy is about.
Well, and I hope I can become as optimistic as Tim Hall is about the future of college athletics and getting this ship righted. But, you know, my concern is, like any large, successful organization or industry like college athletics is, you know, usually the downfall is because you rot from within. And it's greed and entitlement and all those types of things is what oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes can destroy a good thing. And, you know, I think college athletics is a great thing. It's great for our country. It's great for universities. It's a wonderful thing, and it should be celebrated. But we've allowed it to become, at least at the Power Five level, if you will, become about the money. And let's face it, that's what this is about. It's about the money. And, you know, some of the things that I see going on at that level and some of the things that they're doing, and they're saying, well, we've got the money, or they've earned it, and or whatever. It's just kind of like, well, just because you can doesn't mean you should. And that's what I see too much of. I think that's what America sees too much of. And so now here we are. We're running down these tracks and trying to change our governance structure to try to make it better. But I think we're actually rushing through this, and we haven't done enough research. We haven't done any projections. I mean, Jim just mentioned it about, you know, you do realize a lot of our student-athletes, if they need financial assistance, they get a Pell Grant. And a Pell Grant's going to pay them more than what the total cost of attendance would be.
See, I didn't even know that.
The media
doesn't
amazing.
Do that.
Well, Brett, we have not, and we talked about this a lot as athletic directors, we have not done a good job of telling our story. You know, we have let the 1% or less 1% of the stories out there, you know, not talk about the other 99%. You know, the kids that I see walk in my office that will now smile, you know, with their mouth wide open because we just paid for a lot of dental work, you know, for them. You know, the team that we sent on a bus to go to a funeral of somebody's mother because that was the right thing to do and the NCAA allows to do this. Those stories are not sticking.
That's amazing.
And we need to do a better job as ADs getting those stories out there.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
We have it. I mean, here we're talking about the possibility of paying these kids, and yet we haven't done the research or the projections to see, in some cases, it may penalize the kid because now they can't qualify for a Pell Grant.
Interesting.
And a Pell Grant would be more beneficial for them. I mean, we haven't done the research, but it's the Power Five conferences are in such a rush to get this done to try to, because they're getting judged in the court of public opinion, that they need to do more for their kids, and yet they're already doing a lot of things, and yet, you know, the thing that comes out after the Final Four, it was so frustrating, was, you know, one of the players from the
right.
team says,
I was just going to bring that up.
I go to bed hungry. And I would say to that, that's bunk. That kid's not going to bed hungry. And if he is, that's his own fault, because I guarantee you Connecticut, with the resources they have, I mean, I know that we take pretty good care of our kids. And yes, I mean, I do think this new plan about unlimited meals and so forth, I'm all for that. And 'cause there are times I'd like to be able to give the kids some more food and so forth. But we take really good care of the guys. We really do.
There's this image, and when we do this topic a lot about paying athletes, and some of our more political news shows do this topic, and people call in, not everybody, there's this image they paint of athletic directors and school presidents literally collecting money by the tens of thousands of dollars, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars, grabbing it from everywhere. Oh, like the guy coming through the ticket window, I'm pulling that in my pocket, I'm putting this one in my front pocket, and just capitalizing on these kids. There's not a big pot at the end of the rainbow for these school presidents at the end of every school year based on performance of the school teams or of the players, right? It's not done that way. They're motivated by money, of course, potentially at some of the Power Five conferences, but it's more of a bigger picture. That money can go to the new science building or the Jazz Hall or whatever, and it can refund the school in other ways, and that could help them become this all-powerful school president. But they're not just ripping millions of dollars here and there based on the fact the school won 25 games in their college basketball season, right? Or am I wrong?
No, I don't think that's the case at all. You know, certainly at our level, we're just all hoping, and we're at that time of year now, the end of June, we're just hoping to balance our budget. And so whether you're at, you're at one of the BCS schools, I mean, let's face it, if you look at these TV deals that these Power Five conferences have, their challenges become similar than ours and much greater if the TV money wasn't there. And so, you know, from my perspective, you have to hope the TV money continues to be good and doesn't turn out like the tech stocks of the 90s with nothing underneath it, because there can be some big things that crash down pretty hard if that were to happen. But, you know, I think that's a perception, and we live in a world where, unfortunately, people like to see the negative and hear the negative and perpetuate the negative. So to the point that my two colleagues made about telling the story better, yeah, for one negative that really gets taken by the media and created a firestorm, we need to get six or seven positives out there to equal that out.
We're going to take a quick break here. I want to ask you guys, are we all somewhat held hostage by the two revenue sports or even just college football at the Power Five conference level? Is that basically what we're boiling down to right now? I want to get into that and some other topics with our three ADs in studio here on BAL.